Let's go to Matthew chapter number 4 this evening. Matthew chapter number 4. I feel just like Stephen Carrier. I came to hear Dr. Sisk, and you know, but the encouraging thing is, as I was sitting there thinking about all the years, if Jesus doesn't come back, that I have to try to grow into the maturity that Dr. Sisk has. When he was my age, Jimmy Carter was president, and so if we look forward at the, who knows what God could do in somebody like my life, given time and the Holy Spirit's work, which that's encouraging to think about, all the things the Lord could do, because we definitely need him to do his work. Matthew chapter 4, you know, a few weeks ago there in Chile, I was studying Jesus' methods of evangelism and taking some time looking at the Gospels and trying to learn from the strategy that Jesus had. And as we think about reaching the world with the gospel and this task that we've been given, I don't know how many times we really look at the Gospels and see how Jesus strategically modeled evangelism there before his disciples and how then he sent them out to do the same. And I think there's a lot of lessons here that we can learn as we dig down into some of the details of Jesus' pattern of evangelism here in the Gospels. Well, we start out here in Matthew chapter number 4. Jesus is just starting his ministry. And the Bible says in verse number 18, "And Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Many of us are familiar with the story. He's there and they're fishing for fish. It's what you usually do as a fisherman, right? And as they're fishing, he comes by and he uses that life skill that they have. And he calls them to follow him, to come learn from him, to be students of his, and that he will then make them fishers of men. It's an encouraging passage because we think about as we follow Jesus, it's our task to follow him, and then he in turn makes us what he wants us to be. But they became fishers of men. At the end of the book of Matthew, if you remember there, the last two verses there of the book, Jesus will then look at these men among others, and he will say, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." And we see in the middle of these chapters, the 20-something chapters that are between chapter 4 and the end of the book, there's some patterns that we see in Jesus' life and ministry. Oftentimes, these short verses happen between some of those more well-known passages where Jesus is interacting with someone or where he's teaching and preaching one of his famous messages. And the passage that we're familiar with will conclude. And then you'll see a few short phrases, maybe two or three verses, where it'll talk about, "And Jesus left there. And he went into a certain area, and he began to preach and teach and heal. And he went to different villages and cities and towns." And I want to look at some of those verses with you all as we think about what can we learn from Jesus' method of evangelism? What can we apply? What can we think about for those that are being prepared to be sent out as we in Chile are working continually by God's grace to prepare those that are being sent out? This church, we even heard the report of Joy that is being sent out of the church, one of many that have been sent in the past that are serving in different areas around the world. And not only those that are being sent far, but those that are being sent near, because all of us are called to reach our area with the gospel. What are some things that we can learn as we look at this? Two things that I want you to make note of or learn this evening. The first truth that we see here is that Jesus saturated his area with the gospel. Jesus saturated his area with the gospel. Now, oftentimes, You'll hear people speak about, especially in missions context, in Jesus' ministry, you'll hear people talk about the methods that he used to train the 12. And no doubt there is great emphasis given to that in the Gospels. He spent time with them. He prepared them. He mentored them. And then he sent them out. And no doubt many have read books that speak of this and taught lessons that address that particular area. But at the same time, we can't get past the fact that he saturated his area with the gospel. The Bible says here in Matthew 4 that Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, 4:18. And Galilee is the area, the region, the county, if you will, the broader area where Jesus lived. He set up his base there in Capernaum, and he traveled in that area from the Sea of Galilee. I actually have a few maps tonight. I know some of you, how many of you like maps? Are some of you map people? I know that the younger generation, not many raised their hands, because whenever I'm anywhere, before I go, I want to see the map. I want to know the layout. When I get into the car and I leave my house, I picture myself on the map. I'm going east now, going south. Lori, years ago in Santiago, back before we had GPS, there was a time before we had GPS. She called me several times in the middle of the city of 7 million people, all squeezed into a small area. She called several times and said, "Jason, I don't know where I'm at, and I'm trying to get back to this one road, and there's so many one-way roads, and I, all right, Lori, can you tell me what street, can you read the street sign?" And she would say, "No, I can't see the street sign." I'm like, "All right, this is going to be challenging. So, all right, Lori, which way is the shadow being cast from the buildings around you?" To me, that's a really logical question, because all the roads in Santiago go north and south, east and west, and if you start heading southwest, you're going to get to where we live. So she didn't particularly care for that example, and she's like, "Jason, I don't want to know where the shade is, where the sun is, where the moon is. I just want to know how to get home." But I like maps. I like to know where things are. And it's interesting, if you look here, the area of Galilee more or less is about the area, the distance of Roswell and downtown Dawsonville, an area that we're mostly familiar with. And when we see Jesus traveling and going to different areas, he's in an area that's kind of spread out. According to Josephus and other writers, they estimate that during this time, there might have been about 200,000 people living in Galilee. For those that are more numbers nerds, that's about Forsyth County 8 years ago. So Forsyth County's population several years ago, not today, sometime back, you know, in this area. But there's all these small little towns, these small little villages. You know, imagine driving down the road and here's 10 houses that are together, and you're a little bit further, and maybe there's 500 people that live in this area, and a few families here and a few families there. They even had to have 10 men of heads of houses that would come together and make a commitment in order to form a synagogue. So many of these smaller villages and areas were just these very rural areas that Jesus was traveling in, preaching in. And we have a map. I think the guys have it in the back ready to put up. Let's go to the other one first. This is the last one. All right, there you go. Here we have the Sea of Galilee. You have on the top there, that's where Jesus, that's where his base was, Capernaum. And these are some of the areas, some of the towns in Galilee. You see the name of the region here, where he was traveling, where he was preaching. If we go to the next picture, this is a bit more difficult to see, but here's a map that somebody's prepared during the time of the first century. All these were significant towns, villages, and there's evidence for their existence, whether it's in scripture or other books in history. But you see, there's a lot of people living in a lot of small areas. But I show all that, and there's a significance here. And we'll go back to the first map. We'll just have that as a backdrop. It's a prettier backdrop than the other. But as we continue here in the Gospels, look what the Bible says in Matthew 4:23. And Jesus went about, what's the Bible say there? All Galilee. And what did he do in Galilee? Teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Luke 4:14, right after the temptation, when Christ was tempted, the Bible says, "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, came back from the desert to Galilee. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all." The Bible says in Matthew 9:35, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages," speaking again of Galilee, "teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." Matthew 11:1, "And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding the 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities." Now, sometimes we have the idea that Jesus was a bit more stationary, that he had his group of disciples and he got up in the morning and he spent time with them and he taught them lessons and he every now and then he would run into somebody and have a brief conversation. Every now and then 5,000 people would show up and they were hungry and he would feed them. Every now and then he would go away and pray by himself and he would come out and, all right, we're going to teach them today. But as we read through the Gospels, and I've just given you guys a few examples of several more, we see Jesus is, he's teaching the disciples, he's spending time with them, but in the middle, he's going to this whole area of Galilee. And the Bible says he's going to every city, every town, every village. He's preaching. There's multiple tours of preaching that's going on where he's going out and traveling and preaching. Reminds me of others later in the book of Acts that'll go out on different trips and visit different cities and then go back and see those again. And here Jesus himself is involved in saturating this area with the gospel. And no doubt many of the miracles that happened during that time were well known as he's working here in this area. In Galilee, that's where he called his disciples. That's where he performed his first miracle. That's where he told Peter to cast the nets on the other side for a miraculous catch. It's where Jesus later will walk on water, where he calms the storm. It's where he cast out a legion of demons. It's where he feeds the 5,000. It's where he heals Peter's mother-in-law. It's where he heals a leper, a paralyzed man, two blind men. It's where he eats a meal, a banquet with Matthew and his friends. It's where he preaches the Sermon on the Mount. It's where he heals the woman with an issue of blood. It's where he raises someone from the dead. Jesus here in this area, he is healing. He's doing that as a sign that his words have authority, that he is someone sent from God. And people are hearing about Jesus, not just once, not just twice, multiple times. He's going out, he's preaching, and he's preaching to all areas. Now, as a missionary, this is extraordinarily important to me and very interesting to me. But I would say as a Christian, as a follower of Christ, all of us should find this extraordinarily interesting. Because as we think about Dawsonville to Roswell, and today you don't drive down rural streets and find, or maybe you do drive down streets and sometimes these villages have signs out front and you go in and there's 50 houses or 100 houses and people that are scattered out living in these little areas and you have different cultural backgrounds and different socioeconomic levels and there's a lot of opportunity in the area we're in to reach people with the gospel, and Jesus was actively involved in being a part of that. He was showing the example for his disciples and for us today. Mark 6:56, the Bible says, "And whithersoever he entered, into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garment. And as many as touched him were made whole." He went into the villages, into the cities, or there into the country. In Matthew 9:36, as we think about Jesus' heart as he's working with the multitudes, as he's going into some of these areas, as he's taking his disciples with him on some of these trips, the Bible says, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Jesus, not only did he put the example forth for us as he personally got involved, and we've got to reach these people with the truth. We've got to go out. There are people that are lost, that have a great need, and we've got to preach the truth to them. We've got to see what can we do to get the gospel in their hands. What can we do to get the gospel in their ears? What can we do to get the gospel in their hearts? How can we get this message of good news to them? How can we saturate the area? You know, if I were like John Anderson was when he preached here, I remember the example. I'm not sure what he preached about, but he had some water and lemonade, and it must have been to stir up, because I remember the stir, right? If I were like him, I would have a bucket of water up here tonight and something to talk about saturating, because sometimes, you know, we would dip our fingers into the bucket and sprinkle a bit out. We're Baptists, we don't do much sprinkling, all right? But we, you know, just a few drops. And okay, I've done a small part, but Jesus wasn't just, all right, let's talk to a few people and maybe get a little bit of the good news out. He was looking and working to saturate this area with the gospel. And what a challenging thing it is as we think about in our own context, us in Santiago, Chile, a city of 7 million people, to the north, to the south of the capital city, countless towns and cities that still need churches that preach the gospel. And what can we do to make sure that everyone has the opportunity to hear a clear presentation of the gospel, and that everyone has the opportunity to have a Bible preaching church that's within walking distance or a short drive of their house, thinking of the context of Latin America? We need, that's what we're praying for. And as we think about even in our own area, how often a couple of kids has brought people from around the world to our doorstep, and we have the opportunity to reach others with the gospel. But not only do we see that Jesus, he saturated his area with the gospel, but the next truth, the second of the two truths that I think is very interesting as well, Jesus involved his disciples in saturating his area with the gospel. Jesus personally did it, but then Jesus involved the disciples in saturating the same area. We see the Bible, if you want to go with me, if you have a copy of God's Word there, chapter number 9, there in the first few verses, and then we'll see the first few verses of Luke chapter number 10, and I'm sure they'll project this on the Luke 9. Bible says, and he sent them, speaking of the disciples, to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. If we skip down to verse number 6, and they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. In chapter number 9, now Jesus has been teaching, he's been training, he's spent time with them, and now he says, all right, I want you to go out, and where does he send them? There to the area of Galilee. And sometimes they're going into towns and they're preaching the gospel, and no doubt there were people that recognized, I think you guys are your students of Jesus. He was just through here a few months ago, and I remember what he did. It was amazing. Oh, not only does he heal, you heal too? Wow, this is pretty amazing. And all these miracles were used just to help people know that the message preaching was the truth. They didn't have the New Testament to say, open your Bibles to the book of Galatians. I want to explain an important truth to you. And so the Lord allowed those to be signs to confirm that authority. But these disciples were sent out. Now, if we skip to the next chapter, Luke chapter number 10, verse number 1. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also. And he sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. So here, where are they going to start? Well, they're going to start in Galilee. And they're going to go a little bit south, but they're going to start in that same area. Now we have 35 evangelistic teams that are pairing up and being sent out. And what does Jesus say about that? When he sees there's 70 of them going out that are preaching the gospel, did he say, all right, guys, I think we can pack up and call it a day, because I'm pretty sure that we've accomplished the mission, and things are good. I've been out here preaching. I've gone through these areas. I've met people. I've been trying to build relationships, and I've preached the gospel. I've sent out the 12. We're sending out the 70. Well, actually, in verse 2, Jesus goes on to say, "Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few." Laborers are few. If I had 70 preachers, I don't know if I'd be saying the laborers are few. I think I'd be saying, man, we got a good group of preachers here, a good group of gospel proclaimers. This is wonderful. But Jesus looks there and he says, "The laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, forth laborers in harvest." 70 is great, but we need so many more. Oftentimes, the conversation is had about how many more laborers do we need in Chile? How many more laborers do we need in Latin America? Do we really need missionaries? Sometimes people say, in Port Elizabeth, do we really need more missionaries? And Mark's not even here to really appreciate that, but Amy will be sure to tell him. But the truth is, a lot more. We need not just dozens, but not just hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands of gospel preachers that can go around the world taking the gospel. It needs to happen in our generation. That needs to happen now, soon. And may we have the same heart that Jesus had. Jesus was training others and sending them out to share the gospel. He was doing that because he had a compassion, a love, a care, a concern for others that broke his heart. And as he looked among the people that were lost, that were worshiping false gods, or they were in a religious system there among the Jews where they were going through all the motions, but there was oftentimes confusion and a lot of externals without actually having a true faith in God. As all these things were going on, he saw them as sheep without a shepherd. They're people that are as lost as can be. They're confused as can be. And he had compassion them, and he said, "We need to pray for more laborers." Well, how many more churches do we need in Alpharetta or in Cumming? How many more people that are sharing the gospel? How many more outreaches on special days and maybe using social media and the internet to get the gospel out and things at schools and different community outreaches? How much more? And I would say, we need a lot more, a lot more, a lot more. And may we all be involved. May our hearts be stirred to, number one, personally be involved. And number two, let's get others involved as well. And we talked about discipleship here recently and the joys of bringing others along with us. But may we go to bed at night thinking strategically, Lord, how would you have us to reach our neighborhood, our community, our city with the gospel, the local schools with the gospel, young people, old people, those that were born and raised in Georgia, those that were born in some other part of the world and they've come to our area. How can we not only have a heart to reach the foreign countries through missions, but also at the same time to reach our area with the gospel? Jesus had a strategy, had a plan. He set out a pattern, and I think we would all be wise to follow. Let's pray together and ask God to work in our hearts as we consider this. Lord, we thank you for the pattern that we see here in the Word of God. And oftentimes, these what we see as connector verses between some of the more well-known stories in the New Testament that speak about Jesus, how he went out to every village, every town, every city, and he preached the truth to them. And our hearts are stirred as we think about in our current context how we can use every means and method available to get the good news of Christ out. And I pray that we would all be faithful in those one-on-one conversations and many other ways that we can get the gospel to those that need to hear. I pray that you would use us to continue to have a heart for missions abroad and for missions here locally. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.